most busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. It's Tuesday, May 8th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. We have an excellent show for you here today. Our regular Tuesday segment, Government at Work, is coming up first today. We'll speak with Paul Armentano, Normal's Senior Policy Analyst, as well as Steve Nolan from Houston Normal, to talk about different state legislative efforts happening around the country. You can catch Government at Work every Tuesday right here on the Audio Stash, and make sure you get involved, folks. It's never been easier than right now in our digital age to get involved with politics and get involved with marijuana law reform. Visit the Normal Take Action Center and start sending tons of emails out to our state elected officials and make sure these marijuana reform bills get passed. Of course, we have links to the Take Action Center right on our website at normalaudiostash.com. And boy, do we have a real treat of music for you here on the program today. One of my favorite bands of all time, Soul Coughing. We got a Soul Coughing track here for you today. And also the beautiful voices of Zap Mama, some of my favorite music here on the program today. We're going to have great summer music for you all week long right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. So stay tuned. Let's get things started today with our Government at Work segment. Today on our Government at Work segment, we're going to talk about some legislative successes with Normal Senior Policy Analyst Paul Armentano. Then we'll head down to Texas to hear about some legislation that's moving along down there. Paul, welcome back to the program today.
Good to talk to you, Chris.
Great to speak with you today, Paul. Really has been a pretty exciting couple of weeks out there for marijuana legislation.
Sure. Well, I got to tell you, in the several years I've been working with Normal and working on drug policy reform, I don't know if there's ever been a week like last week in recent memory when it comes to having substantive state legislation move forward in a number of state legislatures all at the same time. We had bills in three states go to the floor, and as many of your listeners know, be voted on in favor of by the legislatures, and that is one heck of an accomplishment.
Righto. Now let's talk about Rhode Island, which we briefly highlighted yesterday. They sort of test drove their medical marijuana program for a year and are now making it permanent.
Sure. Rhode Island's program is only about 1 year old, and when the bill was initially passed by the legislature, it contained a sunset clause that said the bill would expire after 1 year unless the legislature chose to eliminate the clause and make the bill permanent. Now, one of the reasons that sunset clause was added was because when the bill was initially being debated, the governor in Rhode Island was opposed to the bill, and it's arguable that the sunset clause was one of the ways to try and appease the governor and also appeal to some legislators who might have been on the fence about the issue because, in fact, they needed a strong majority of the legislature in Rhode Island to vote in favor of the bill to override the governor's veto. So the sunset clause was added, and I'm glad to say that by a wide majority, legislators in both the House and Senate this past week elected to eliminate the sunset clause and make the bill permanent. And it's very important that a strong majority did vote in favor of doing so, because the governor is still huffing and puffing and claiming that, in fact, he's going to veto this bill when it gets to his desk, in which case, once again, it will be up to the legislature to override his veto, and it certainly seems like that they will do so.
And now let's talk about Vermont, Stan in New England here. I know that copies of Normal's report, Emerging Clinical Applications for Cannabis and Cannabinoids, were sent up there to help with that effort.
Vermont, as many people know, for a couple of years has had a very limited medical marijuana bill. In fact, it's so limited that in its 2 years of existence, I believe only about 25 or 30 patients in the entire state are qualified for legal protections under the law. One of the reasons that is the case is because the legislature was very narrow in the clinical indications that they allow patients in that state to qualify for to use marijuana. And one of the main things that this bill will do is it will broaden the list of clinical applications that patients can qualify for to use marijuana. It would also, to some degree, increase plant counts of how much marijuana patients can possess. So certainly this would improve Vermont's bill so that it can impact positively more patients, and it can be more effective for the patients that are currently covered under the law. And we're pleased to see that both the House and Senate have approved these amendments, and it appears that the governor, who's been sort of on the fence about this issue, in some cases has spoken negatively about it, from all indications or all recent indications, it appears that the governor is going to be willing to allow this bill to become law without his signature.
And now let's go from New England out to the Midwest, where in Minnesota, there was another legislative victory last week.
Sure. In Minnesota, the bill that has been debated by the legislature would actually establish a medical marijuana program similar to the state registered programs that exist in many other states. One unique aspect of Minnesota's potential program is that there is language in the bill that would allow for independent nonprofits to register with the state to grow and distribute marijuana to qualified patients. Aside from that, patients with certain qualified illnesses will be able to possess, I believe, about 2.5 ounces of marijuana under the law. That bill narrowly passed the Senate last week. It is now gone to the House floor, where we expect it will be voted on shortly. Once again, we're running into a problem with the governor. He has certainly made it clear publicly that he intends to veto this bill, and if that's the case, it may be a matter, once again, of it falling in the hands of the legislature and us needing a large number of legislators to support this bill to potentially override a veto.
Now, we've been talking about these successes here today, Paul, but what are some legislative efforts we should be looking out for in the future here?
Well, in fact, representatives of Normal, including one of Normal's board of directors, was testifying today in the Tennessee legislature in favor of a medical marijuana bill there that will be a second round of hearings tomorrow in Tennessee, and we will be testifying once again in favor of legislation there. So that is a state that's moving. Tennessee actually has a multi-year session, so while the session will wind down on about 30 days or so, we expect these bills to carry over into next year, and in fact, we hope that the legislature will then move forward with them in 2008. In Massachusetts, who also has a two-year session, we recently had bills introduced on behalf of our local affiliate to set up a medical marijuana program in that state and also to decriminalize the personal use of marijuana so that individuals, adults who possess marijuana, would face a ticket only instead of a criminal penalty in that state. So those are two states that we're quite excited about.
Now, along with these successes and all the bills out there, everyone will remember there's another success recently with New Mexico becoming the 12th state to offer medical marijuana earlier this year. But this has been a real banner season for marijuana reform bills. You know, Paul, what do you attribute this growing success to?
I think it's evidence of the maturing of this issue, particularly the medical marijuana issue. And by that, I don't simply mean that politicians have a better understanding of the issue than they once did, although that's clearly the case. But I think there's also been a maturing in the drug law reform movement as to, I think we've become better lobbyists and we've become better at working with legislatures, and that this year, 2007, and the successes that are taking place in many of these legislatures is simply the result of the fact that drug law reform has really become an effective lobbying arm. And, you know, those results are now sort of taking root.
Righto. Paul, this has been great today. Many thanks for joining us for this update.
Sure, no problem, Chris.
Thanks again, Paul. Paul Armentano is Normal's Senior Policy Analyst and author of several of Normal's booklets and reports, such as Emerging Clinical Applications for Cannabis and Cannabinoids. Paul's work can be found at normal.org, and make sure to visit the Take Action Center to get involved with reform today. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. Also in our Government at Work segment today, we're going to speak with Steve Nolan, the director of Houston Normal, about the legislative efforts happening there in the Lone Star State. Steve, welcome to the program today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us today, Steve. Now, tell us about the legislation being proposed there in Texas.
Okay, actually, we've got a couple of pieces of legislation in. A medical marijuana defense bill, House Bill 1534, which would allow someone to actually defend themselves in a court of law. You know, it's kind of strange to think that you couldn't bring up your medical history and how marijuana helps you relieve some of the symptoms of different ailments, but they'll strike it from the record, hold you in contempt of court if you try bringing it up. So this would actually let you bring it up in a court of law so that you can be judged by a court of your peers. We also have another bill, House Bill 758, which would make 2 ounces or less a Class C misdemeanor if you were, you know, pulled over for that. So it'd make it a non-arrestable offense. It'd be more like a traffic ticket, so you don't get caught up in the gears of the justice system.
And Steve, tell us about the attitudes towards marijuana there in Texas. We spoke with Josh there in Austin Normal about that area, but what about in general in the state?
Well, they did a Scripps Howard poll, and actually it scored real favorably. Is over 80% supported medical marijuana, and so, you know, people are ready for it. We had Lobby Day back in February where we got a van load of medical marijuana supporters up to Austin, and we talked to a lot of the staff up there, and pretty much most of the people agreed with us, but they're picking and choosing their battles. They're worrying about what the voters will think of. Of course, we brought up, you know, some of the polls that, you know, have come through besides the Scripps Howard poll, also, you know, some of the national polls that have been done, and showed them that, you know, people are ready for medical marijuana. It's not, you know, taboo like it used to be whenever I first started, you know, doing things with the Houston Normal. You know, people were kind of afraid to bring it up, afraid, you know, that people would think that, you know, they're just some hippie stoner that wants to, you know, smoke the herb. But, yeah, now people are finding out that it does have actual medical uses. Dwayne, our hempstorian, he's collected a lot of things off of eBay that show the historical trail of marijuana throughout history. He's got a lot of different pharmacopoeias from pre-1937 that show that the government has this already listed, so there's no reason the government can say that it has no medical value, because we have proof from the pharmacopoeias, from the dispensaries, also some of the things that would measure how much of a dosage to do. So a lot of people, we're doing our part to educate people as far as the history of marijuana, the benefits of marijuana. So it's starting to get there. Even some of the police officers we talked to, they don't really have any, you know, if marijuana was legal today, they wouldn't mind. You know, it'd be that much less work for them to do, so they could concentrate on more serious crimes.
Now, those polls you mentioned, those are a bit above the national average there. What do you think is contributing to that support?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of farmers in Texas, so you know, they know the benefits of hemp. You know, their grandpa, you know, probably grew hemp, so you know, they know it. You know, from, you know, historical, that they don't necessarily believe, you know, the propaganda that the government puts out.
And Steve, is there a sense there from the Lone Star State that there's a state's rights issue here?
We've had actually the two bills that are in there. They have been introduced in past sessions, so we're getting there slowly but surely. Actually, for the medical marijuana defense bill, we're actually taking a step back on that, because Dana DeLisi, the chairman of the public health committee that it's in, she has pretty much stated that it's not going to get out of her committee. But we are getting closer and closer, so I think Texas is ready for a change in marijuana policy.
Now, a lot of folks view Texas as a conservative state, but, you know, support for marijuana is something that really seems to be crossing political lines anymore.
They're conservative to a certain extent. I mean, they don't want, and, you know, as far as normal, you know, we don't necessarily want, you know, people under 18 smoking it, because, you know, those are your formative years. So, you know, it would have some effect on there. But, you know, as far as medical marijuana, they can see that. I mean, we showed them patients. We've, you know, showed them enough literature, and as far as the history, that they know that marijuana is medicine. They keep saying about sending mixed messages, which it's a mixed message whenever the government can prescribe you Marinol or your physician, but it's approved by the government. But you can't use the natural plant. So, you know, I think that's really the mixed message. But it is kind of a conservative state, you know. I don't think we're gonna, you know, have like a Amsterdam, you know, where you have the coffee shops and things like that. Actually, coming up in September, there will be no smoking in any public buildings, or restaurants or bars, in the city of Houston. So it's kind of conservative, but there are a lot of people that have a lot of sense. Senator John Whitmire, he's been actually publicly stating in the newspapers that we don't necessarily need more jails, because I don't know if you've heard about our overcrowding problem where inmates are sleeping on floors and other things like that, but he's saying that we should be smarter on crime instead of building more prisons. So it is kind of a conservative state, but we're doing our part to educate the people, and it looks like it's starting to pay off.
And Steve, I know Houston Normal is also participating in some events coming up this weekend. Tell us about what's happening.
We're actually going to be in the Houston Art Car Parade.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we started last year. We tried to have the Global Marijuana March on the first weekend, but that kind of coincides with Cinco de Mayo, and since this is Texas, that usually takes precedence. So we started getting in the Art Car Parade. Actually, this year George Clinton's going to be the Grand Marshal of the Art Car Parade. Your listeners may remember him from the Hempilation album where he did the Dope Dog song. But there's going to be over 250 cars from over 23 states in the U.S. and also some from Canada. There's going to be over 200,000 people. Cheryl's working on some fans with normal information on it, so people can keep cool in the soon-to-be scorching days in Texas. But so yeah, that's actually going to be on the 12th. We'll try to have some clips up on YouTube so some people can check it out. But yeah, so that'll be our Global Marijuana March here in Houston.
Right on, Steve. It sounds like it's going to be a very good time there in Houston on Saturday. Steve, thanks again for joining us here today.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for having us out.
Steve Nolan is the director of Houston Normal. We have links to Houston Normal on our website today at normalaudiostash.com.
755,000. That is a big number to be sure, but do you know what this number represents? It signifies the total number of citizens in America arrested on marijuana charges in 2004. That's right. 755,000 of your fellow citizens were arrested on marijuana charges. That's an arrest every 40 seconds. And 9 out of 10 of those arrested are for possession-only charges. Does continuing marijuana prohibition make sense to you? It certainly does not to the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and its members. I'm Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, and if you too think that it is high time to end marijuana prohibition and replace it with a tax and regulate policy, please join and support Normal's 36-year legislative efforts to reform our country's misguided marijuana laws. You can learn more about Normal or become an active supporter by calling toll-free 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L, or by visiting us on the web at normal, N-O-R-M-L.org.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
It's time to get into some music here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, and boy, do we have a fine mix of music for you today. First up, one of my favorite bands, seriously, one of my favorite bands of all time. When I was a night radio DJ in Santa Fe, New Mexico, I used to play Soul Coughing all the time. I have a signed t-shirt from them. I went and saw them live. I think 4 times I saw Soul Coughing live. They weren't easy to catch, if you believe that. But this is Soul Coughing. This is the Brooklynites. We have links to them up at PromoNet on our website today at normalaudiostash.com.
Down on the Flatbush Extension. The Brooklynites.
Down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass.
The Brooklynites.
South 3rd Street.
The Brooklynites.
Avenue U. Atlantic at Alice. DeKalb. White Skimmer Horn. Pacific Linux. St. Felix. J Street. Borough Hall.
The Brooklynites.
The Brooklynites.
The Brooklynites.
The Brooklynites.
The Brooklynites.
Train is being held by the dispatcher.
Oh, that was Soul Coughing with the Brooklynites. We have links to them up at Promonet on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Their album, Ruby Vroom, is probably, it ranks up there in my mind as one of the top 10 albums of all time. I still listen to Ruby Vroom all the time. Soul Coughing, really, one of my favorite bands ever. Another one of my favorite groups I found up at the Promonet this week is Zap Mama. Let's listen to their beautiful voices now.
Oh,
was the beautiful voices of Zap Mama from their album Amazon. They're up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance. We have links to download that album and find them up at PromoNet on our website today at normalaudiostash.com.
Let's do something good tonight.
Whether on a train, plane, ferry, or automobile, these days I'm never far removed from listening to Normal's daily audio stash and weekly news on my computer or iPod. Where else in the world can folks listen to up-to-date information produced specifically for cannabis consumers? This is Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, and Normal is growing the truth about cannabis, and the harvest is yours to reap. Tune in every day at 4:20 p.m. for your daily audio stash. Get hooked up with Normal's daily and weekly news podcast by visiting norml.org or normalaudiostash.com.
Is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.